Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Capital Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I am dynamite.
We're both dynamite. We have Jacques Torres coming on the show later today.
Big stuff. I mean, big stuff. Little box of chocolates sitting here in front of us.
Little box of chocolates. Not too...
If you notice a little extra energy in the show today, it is... Today's show is fueled by chocolate.
Jacques Torres is one of the best chocolatiers in New York City. He has a shop in Manhattan and in Brooklyn, and you can buy his chocolates online. You can get him in time for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is coming up.
Absolutely.
And I use the word chocolatier because chocolatier just sounds dumb. Reminds me a little bit of mousketeer little bit of musketeer.
I think you're swashbuckling and you might carve a little C in my chest.
Yeah, exactly. Or it reminds me of Annette Funicello in all those terrible beach blanket bingo movies. So we'll go with chocolatier.
Better, for sure.
But he's great, and you can find him on our website. We'll talk to him later on. I'm super happy we got him on the show. In the chocolate world, he's a biggie.
He's a biggie. The cool thing about that is, you know, one of the things, great things about having your own radio show is you get to decide who's going to come on and who's not going to come on. So you're like, hey, I really like your chocolate. Let's have Jacques Torres on.
And then we order some so we can eat it while
we're
talking
to him. Don't have to bring any of the pretenders to the throne on. You can actually bring the king.
I want to talk about a recent article that was in Travel and Leisure magazine called Flirting with the Forbidden, and it was about forbidden foods. You know, there are different foods that are forbidden.
You mean like that my wife's leftover chocolate cake from when we went out to the restaurant?
Not forbidden in that way.
Oh, okay.
And like legally forbidden, like unpasteurized milk in many states of the country, unpasteurized cheeses in America that are less than 90 days old. And there are certain things like Iranian caviar is heavily restricted and was illegal for a while. Now, there are some things that are made illegal, and I think they shouldn't be for reasons like, all of Europe eats unpasteurized cheese, and they're not dropping like flies. You know what I mean? So why we can't have unpasteurized young cheese?
Thousands of Europeans die every day, Francis.
I mean, exactly, but not from unpasteurized cheese.
Must be the unpasteurized cheese. Come on.
So, an unpasteurized milk, I mean, raw milk, you know, there are corporate reasons that people want to keep you from getting clean, healthy, unpasteurized milk. I mean, you know, from the time of Moses, remember the land of milk and honey? Milk and honey are the two perfect foods that are mentioned in the Bible, for heaven's sake. And, you know, they weren't pasteurized, I promise you. Moses wasn't pasteurized.
But, you know, Francis, there are other foods out there that are forbidden for other reasons.
Yeah. So, for example, article talks about is traveling to go to places where you can have foods that you can't have in the United States. So going to France to eat unpasteurized cheese. I think that's a great idea. If you're in France, you should eat as much unpasteurized cheese and drink as much raw milk as you can, and I do.
Of course, you could just go to Pennsylvania, though. You don't really need to go all
the way
to France.
Well, no, they don't do cheese in Pennsylvania. They only do milk. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the point is... ortolans are the one thing that this talks
ortolans,
about. Ortolans are a songbird, right? And they're endangered. And ortolans are a very dainty little bird, and they're so dainty, and their bones are so fragile that you can eat a cooked ortolan, bones and all.
Eat them whole.
And they were a great delicacy. Sadly, they were such a great delicacy that they almost disappeared off the face of the earth. And so... you hear foodies sometimes talk about going to some secret ortolan dinner. Listen, if you eat an ortolan, you're a scumbag, okay? Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you can get away with it. The reason ortolans are illegal is not because they might make you sick. It's because there might not be any more ortolans left on the planet, you bonehead.
You know, we do talk about things
I'm
like...
I'm a glutton.
We do talk... Francis, you got it reasonably. We do tell people to eat, heritage breeds of turkey because by
making them part of what we eat every day, we make it profitable for people to breed them.
But ortolans are wild.
But the problem is ortolans are wild, and that's exactly the point I wanted to make. Ortolans, there is no such thing as an ortolan farm. So
although if any of you want to be adventurous out there, you can make a lot.
So, if you want to eat ortolan or tiger elephant or even whale, remember that there's not whale farms either. Okay?
Less is
you're
less. I'm reminded of one of our friends who was with you when you ran into a chef in Florida and you talked about Chilean sea bass and you said to the chef, "Well, I don't eat Chilean sea bass, because Chilean sea bass is endangered." And he said something like, "Yeah, I know. That's why I got to get them
now." Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He said, "Yeah, that's why it's on my menu, because I figure 5 years from now, where there's going to be no more. We better eat it while we can.
Give me a gun." And not for myself. I want to go to Florida and find this guy. Okay, so there's a difference between that, eating something that's endangered and eating something that, poses a risk to you, like unpasteurized cheese. Like, look, flying on a plane to France is going to pose you more of a risk than eating
unpasteurized
cheese.
I'm sure that's true, that the plane ride was the dangerous.
But there are other reasons, and I want to caution people about this. There is a fruit called a mangosteen, and mangosteens are delicious, and we may be able to get some in the United States soon. There's somebody growing some in an approved way. I forget what country they're going to come from. But mangosteens are a wonderful, wonderful fruit that you can get in Europe. You can't get them in the United States. And people say, "Well, that's ridiculous. Why can't we get them?" The reason you can't get mangosteens in the United States is because the U.S. Department of Agriculture has identified certain pests and parasites that will come over, pathogenic material that can come over on imported mangosteens that could attack our native plant life. Okay, so yes, you should travel abroad and enjoy your mangosteen. Do not sneak it in your luggage.
Exactly.
Okay? Because if you're the jerk who brought kudzu into the South, it's a
right,
live
this would
thing.
Not be, this would not be the first time something like this had happened in our country.
Sure.
You're going to get the fish that are walking between the two ponds and killing all the fish in the next pond, and then they move on to can walk across land.
Because they have no natural predators here.
Exactly.
So there are some very good reasons. I mean, there's some stuff that's stupid, like non-pasteurized milk we should be able to eat, but there's some very good reasons why some things are not available here and not legal here, but are fine to have elsewhere. And there are other things that it doesn't matter where you are, don't eat them. Just don't eat the ortolans.
Leave the endangered wild animals alone.
I'm a
huge, huge proponent of leaving the endangered wild animals alone. What do you say, Francis?
I think that's great, and I stick with the Cuban cigars when I'm abroad. I think that's, I do. It's funny.
Because they're not endangered abroad.
Exactly.
They're only endangered in the United States.
When I go to, when I go to France, there's a little bar called Casa del Habano on the Boulevard Saint-Germain, and I went with our sommelier once to France. He's like, "So we're in Paris, and you brought me to a Cuban bar. Why?" I'm like, "Smoke this.
It's all about the tobacco, baby."
"Smoke this. We'll go some pâté in a minute." We'll be back in just a moment with Jacques Torres, King of Chocolate of New York City, in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest today, very excited, we are to have Jacques Torres. Jacques is one of America's premier chocolatiers, or makers of chocolate candy. Now, what could make you more popular than that? You can visit Jacques Torres if you're in New York City, in Manhattan, or in Brooklyn, and feast on some of the most intense and delicious chocolate in the world. There's an enchanted forest of bonbons, or you could take your chocolate in liquid form at his hot chocolate bar. I picked up a 2-foot-tall chocolate snowman on my way to a Christmas party last December. My host and the other guests were grateful initially gracious, but when they saw that it was from Jacques Torres, the poor snowman was hacked to pieces in a matter of minutes. The poor guy never stood a chance.
Jacques Torres, I did partake in that snowman. Thank you very much, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your kind words.
You're welcome. Now, you're a chocolate guy, right? So
yes.
Does that immediately make people like you? Do they smile when they find out what you do, where you are?
You know, what I think is that when you go buy chocolate, it's not going like to the dentist. Usually you're in a good mood, you go buy something that you enjoy, so you come with a smile to the store. So usually we have a happy customer.
Well, you know, it's funny, because if I met you on the street, I'd be like, you're Jacques Torres, who brought me all that pleasure in these great chocolates?
People think chocolate when they recognize me. You know, it's not me, it's the chocolate. That's the magic thing.
Well, I will tell you that I'm addicted to chocolate, and so is Mark, and you're one of our heroes.
Thank you.
But people don't understand, I think, sometimes. You know, I will occasionally pick up the Hershey bar at the local convenience store, and it's, you know, serviceable. But really fine chocolate, which is sort of new to this country, I think, in the last generation or so, is a very different animal entirely. I think we should start, for our listeners who may not have experienced chocolate on this level, talking about the difference between sort of the more shelf-stable, you know, Hershey bar kind of chocolate and the kind of chocolates that you do. What is the difference?
Okay, the main difference will be the cacao beans, where the cacao beans come from. It's a little bit like wine. You can buy relatively non-expensive grapes. You can blend them, you know, can be grapes from around the European community, and we blend them and we make a wine with it. So because that will be all the grapes that people want to get rid of, they will be less expensive, and you're going to have a wine that's going to be drinkable, but it's not going to be a Châteauneuf-du-Pape, it's not going to be a Bordeaux, a Bourgogne. It's going to be, you know, a drinkable wine, a table wine. Now, if you want to do a very good wine, certainly you're going to choose an area, you're going to take care of your grapes a little bit better, you're going to put a little bit more attention, and definitely the taste of the wine going to be different. Cacao is exactly the same thing. You can buy some cacao beans in Venezuela and buy them for $3 to $3.50 a pound, or you can buy cacao beans in Africa, where the bulk of the market is, and pay them for, you know, less than $1 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the two characteristics are going to be completely different. One will be fruity and a little bit of, you know, citrus and flowery, and the other one going to be a good cacao mass, but with no much surprise, with no much, I would say, no much singing in your mouth, or no much surprise when you eat your chocolates.
When we get these great beans and you take the beans and make them into chocolate, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about how we get from bean to chocolate.
Yes.
But you take, when you have chocolate, you then make different candies. You make the chocolate into various candies.
Yes.
Are the types of candies that you make, are they perishable? Do we need to eat them quickly? Do they have a short lifestyle?
Yes. What's going on with our company? And that's the direction that we decide to take. We decide to take a direction where our candy will be not more than 1 month old. You know, 3 weeks to 4 weeks shelf life. That's because we don't use any preservative or any product to make the shelf life longer.
Which changes the texture of your product.
Which is no chemical, it's very natural. What we do, we put the filling of the chocolate, what usually go bad, we put it into a machine that's going to vacuum all the air out of that mass. That means less air, less oxidation, longer shelf life.
Right.
So we do it mechanically instead of putting chemical into the chocolates.
Now, but I think that, you know, people are used to getting a candy from the shelf, like, you know, your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, you know, that can be a year old, right?
It could be
years
old.
Definitely, yes.
and so what are the ingredients in your fillings and the like that actually make this chocolate sort of...
Perishable.
Perishable.
Our recipe are extremely, extremely simple. That's why we have no secrets of fabrication. It's basically chocolate, cream, butter, alcohol, or fruit. And that's all it is.
These are a few of my favorite things.
You know, my theory is put good ingredients that are by themselves good, all together, don't make any mistake, and you will have a good final product. So basically, you know, again, very basic, chocolate, cream, butter, alcohol, you know, fruits and nuts sometimes, because we do also some nut paste. But the nut paste that we make, I made in our manufacture. I don't buy anything of that. I buy the nut and I make the paste myself because I don't want any chemicals in it.
We'll be back in just a moment talking more with Jacques Torres. Valentine's Day coming up, and you can find Jacques Torres online. You can link there through our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll have that up later today. And we'll be talking more with Jacques Torres about chocolate at this perfect time of year for chocolate in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were, you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Master Chocolatier Jacques Torres.
You know, Jacques, right before the break there, you were talking a little bit about something that I've heard from every great winemaker, every winemaker whom I respect, every chef whom I respect, and now every chocolatier that I've spoken to says exactly the same thing, and that when we begin this process, the most important thing is ingredients.
Yes.
And our job is as much not to mess up those ingredients as it is to you know, create great things with them.
Definitely.
Is that how you feel?
Definitely. Modern nature is very difficult to beat. Fruits are usually the most intense flavor. You make a pastry with those fruits, you try to keep as much flavor as you can. So you try to don't mess up the original product. And that's what we do with everything.
When you make chocolates, though, I mean, you have some unusual combinations. I mean, you make chocolate candies that have, you know, ginger in them, and you have chocolate candies with wine in them and port. Are there certain flavors that go? I think Americans would often find some of these flavor combinations kind of striking. Are there flavors that particularly work well with chocolate? Or are there flavors that you particularly avoid with making chocolate?
A lot of flavor work well with chocolates. Very few things doesn't work. You know, grapefruit is a little bit difficult to match with chocolate, but the skin of the grapefruit, if it's well candy, will work. Coffee is a natural. Orange is a natural. Passion fruit is a natural. I mean, it's very few flavors that doesn't work, but I don't want to go too exotic. Mm-hmm. That's where, to me, some of the new generation chefs go a little bit wrong. Cheese and chocolate, I don't know. Some of the spice that, you know, that's, we don't know the name, you put that into the chocolate, you have no reference to what you eat. That's a little bit more difficult to me.
You know, I think we see some of the same things with chefs or restaurateurs. The people that I don't completely understand and don't enjoy as much for myself are the people who try and push you so far that the concern is less about necessarily the flavors in your mouth, but the concern is more about shocking you or challenging
and
your
techniques.
Expectation.
Chefs love to show techniques and to put things together. It's a question of techniques. And you know, something that I realize into my profession, young chefs will put way more ingredients in a recipe than older chefs.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about the similarities between a great chef and a great chocolatier. With Jacques Torres, one of the best chocolatiers in America. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Jacques Torres. Jacques Torres has two stores in Manhattan. You can find him online. If you're looking for chocolates for your lover for Valentine's Day, you can link to his website through ours, restaurantguysradio.com. You know, I have to be honest with you, in the spirit of full disclosure, we have a box of Jacques Torres chocolates here in the studio, and during the news we've been snacking, and I'm...
We are in the spirit.
Woo!
Good.
I got a bit of a sugar rush going on here, Jacques. Now, we love... I mean, Mark and I are gluttons for everything from cigars to tea to coffee to wine to spirits, but chocolate is one of those things, and it's great to see in America that there are super high-end chocolates on this level. But one of the things, we were talking before the news about sort of a similarity between chefs and chocolatiers. And one of our other favorite chocolatiers is a guy in Paris named Michel Chaudin, right?
Okay, yes.
And we, whenever we're in Paris, we go there. If we have friends passing through, you know, they know the way to our hearts is to come back with a couple of kilos of Chaudin chocolate. We love your chocolates just as well. And, well, you're a lot closer to my apartment, so that's better for me. But I feel... that if blind, somebody put down four pieces of Chaudin chocolate on a plate and four pieces of your chocolate on a plate, I'm sure that if I didn't know which was which, I could say, this is Chaudin, this is Torres. Do chocolatiers have styles and signatures?
Yes.
Just like chefs do?
Yes. What's going on is, between him and I put the flavor of the center first. He put the flavor of the chocolate first.
Mm-hmm.
And most chocolatiers in Paris will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, they when you bite in their chocolates, the first thing that you're going to get is chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full flavor of chocolate. And you can detect sometimes origin from it. And then, after that, you're going to get the flavor of the filling. If it's raspberry, if it's lemon, if it's coffee, or, you know, whatever the flavor is inside. What we do, we pack our center with more flavor by vacuuming our centers. So when you bite in our chocolates, the first thing that comes to your nose is the raspberry or the lemon or the passion fruits, and then you end up with the chocolates. Then you end up with the chocolate in your mouth melting, coating your taste buds and going down. So more intense center. Less focus at the beginning in the chocolates. That will be our style.
Let me ask, is that more because that's just your style of how you do things, or is that because you think that's a style that resonates better with the American palate?
I think that American will not like a strong punch on the nose of chocolate right away. I think that American love chocolate from Belgium, chocolate from Switzerland, with a milder chocolate than Parisian chocolates. So that's the reason why I went this direction.
Well, you know, Jacques, and I don't even know if Francis knew that I had intended to talk to you about this, but, you know, when I was a kid, I have one grandmother who's French and one grandmother who's Italian, and my French grandmother wouldn't use American chocolates in order to cook with. She always, whenever someone went over to Europe, made them bring her back baking chocolate.
Yes.
From Europe, because of those stylistic differences in the baking chocolate, in the European chocolates.
Yes.
But isn't that the beauty of what makes the world go around, is that there are all these different styles? And, you know, Mark and I will sit down and we'll do, like, chocolate tastings, because we're geeks. We're total food geeks, and we'll do that sort of thing. Well, let's talk about your store, because you were in Brooklyn for a long time, but a couple of years ago, you opened this great shop in Manhattan, and I live in Jersey City right across the river, so you're, like, a five-minute drive from my house. And you have your factory, which is very unusual, right, you know, glass enclosed. You can watch the chocolates being made. How's that working out for you?
So that worked well. You know, you can come in the store. The store has the shape of a cacao pod, and the store is on the middle of the factory, actually.
Uh-huh.
So when you have your hot chocolates, or when you have your croissant, or when you eat your chocolate bonbon, you can see us making them. And I recommend Valentine or even Easter. Easter is unbelievable. We have big rabbits, we have eggs, chickens everywhere. I mean, it's great. It's beautiful for the kids. And that store is really magical. But I still have the store also in Brooklyn.
I'm going to tell you, though, Jacques, your chocolates, you know, you talk about all those other things for Easter, your chocolates for Valentine's Day. So far, you know, I'm 100% using your chocolates, if you know what I mean, okay?
Thank you.
And Mark's married, so that means that, well, anyway. But I want to talk about this store, because it is striking. It's really striking, and I'm a fairly jaded fellow, you know? But it's spotless clean, and you have, talk to me about those machines you have. The last time I was there, I hadn't been there when you had molds in machines, and they were turning them around in geometric patterns.
It's called a spinner. What's going on is we have magnetic mold with two sides, so the two sides are concave. We put a certain weight of the chocolates inside one of the side of the mold. Then we put the top. So now we have some kind of a figure, and then we put that into a machine that's going to spin the mold in every direction. So the chocolate's going to coat all the side of the inside of the mold, and the center going to stay hollow. That's called a hollow figure.
I tell you, when you see this stuff, when you see all these things spinning around, you really do feel like you're in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, you know, when the colorful molds go.
It's a beautiful machine. I mean, when all the molds are on it, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It was, well, because I stopped in, and that was not a joke about this chocolate snowman that I picked up, and he was great. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, it was a lot of the formed chocolate that's formed into you know, playful shapes or whatever is often not very good chocolate. So when I showed up at this party, and you know the party that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Mark.
I was there.
And our hostess, a woman named Teresa, said, oh, that's very nice. And I said, it's from Jacques Torres. And she said, oh, you know, and it was gone. Because you actually used the great chocolate for these
I use the same
molds.
Chocolate for my bonbon and for my hollow figure. I don't see the reason why downgrade the quality of the hollow figure. So the hollow figure will be the same and a very reasonable price usually.
Jacques, I was very concerned when Francis bought the figure of the snowman to the party that he was making a comment on my physique.
Now, it's been noted that America's chocolate tastes turn more and more away from milk chocolate and to dark chocolate. Why do you think that's happening, and are you seeing that happen overall with consumers, that people are going more to dark
chocolate? It's happening in our business. It's happening into the gourmet chocolates. And, I mean, Hershey today come with dark chocolates with a lot of cocoa contents. Scientists show that chocolate is good for you. As higher the cocoa contents, the most health benefits you will get. So now more and more dark chocolates are made in the market. Now it's very common to find a 70 or a 75% cocoa content. And it's amazing because you have only 25% sugar in those chocolates.
You know, what's funny, I think that also, I think, yes, it's the health benefits as well, but I also think that, you know, America's, you know, more fascinated with coffee and stronger coffee than ever, kind of the Starbucksification of coffee. So I think Americans are finally developing a taste for bitter things, which we never had until, you know, recent times.
Correct. Coffee was the first thing that went from be able to see the bottom of the cup to something that's a little bit more, that's stronger today.
Mm-hmm.
Americans start to love, you know, good coffee. And the chocolate became the same. You're right. That's a very good comparison.
Now we only have about a minute left, but can you just tell us, what is milk chocolate? How do we introduce milk into chocolate? What's
the milk chocolate is exactly the same thing as dark chocolate with milk powder in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. That will be the European way of making milk chocolate. The American way of making, like Hershey, to make milk chocolate will be to mix milk with sugar and to heat that almost into a paste, basically. It's called, I don't recall the name now of that technique. But when they get the paste, they introduce cocoa liquor and they make the chocolates with it.
Is the best chocolate always dark chocolate? Is it on the highest end of things?
The best chocolate is the chocolate that you prefer to eat. To me, it's no, you know, let's be very honest. It's not because you have a brand on it. It's not because you have a name on the tablet of chocolates that the chocolate is going to be the one that you prefer.
Nicely
There's different chocolates. The one that you prefer is the best chocolate.
Nicely done, Jacques.
Jacques Torres is one of the best chocolatiers and a fine diplomat as well. We'll be back in just a moment talking more with Jacques Torres about chocolate with the run-up to Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We are talking to a chocolate hero, Jacques Torres. Again, you can find out about Jacques Torres through our website, restaurantguysradio.com, and you can order online some of his chocolates to be delivered to you in time for Valentine's Day, but you really should, if you're anywhere near it, go visit his store in Manhattan.
You know, Jacques, and one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, and truthfully, when Francis and I have a guest on the show, one of the things I'll do is I'll look for, a weakness. I'll look for a place where maybe that's not an area that they have as much success as other. And one of the things I did purposefully was I had you ship me your chocolates without knowing they were going to be for me.
Because normally I go pick them up for us.
Because normally we would just pick them up right at the store. And, you know, I got to tell you, the chocolates are still spectacular. They're still really, really great.
Thank you.
How long does it normally take for shipping? And I guess some of our listeners are not going to be in your area, so they're gonna want you to ship to them for Valentine's Day.
We recommend to order as soon as possible. Certainly the Monday before Valentine, we're going to ship between 2,000 and 2,500 packages that day. So we're going to be extremely busy. So the earliest you place an order, the better. That's for sure.
All right, I want to touch on one thing before we come to the end of the show, and the hour end of the hour is creeping up on us. Whenever I'm in the neighborhood and it's cold outside, I come in because you have a hot chocolate bar in your store.
Yes.
Where you can come in and get a cup of the most decadent hot chocolate in the world. Now, you have regular hot chocolate, but you also have a spicy hot chocolate.
Yes, I did a trip to Oaxaca in Mexico, and I spent a week with a family there. They make their own chocolates, but they make their own mole. They work with their chili the way that we don't do in France or in America. So I discover chipotle chili there and how to work with it and quantity and what to do with it. And when I came back, I married that ancho and chipotle chili with a mix that we buy in France to make spice bread. So I put a little bit of that spice bread mix, and I put the chipotle and ancho chili in it, and I create a hot chocolate. So when you drink that, you feel a little bit of heat in your throat. And because it's cold outside, that thing is really warm you up from the inside.
Well, and they say that the ancient Mayans, that's how they used to take their chocolate, with a whole bunch of other spices in liquid
form. And no sugar. They used to use no sugar in their drinks, because there was no sugar at that time in America.
Yeah, I think we've advanced. I like the sugar in there as well.
I prefer with the sugar. Believe me, I try both sides. I like the sugar.
The Mayans also didn't have dentists, so you know, we've had some advances. So I want to ask you one thing. I did notice when I'm there, because like I said, I'm kind of a coffee head. That you always make the whoever makes the coffee. I don't know whether they're the barista or what you call the coffee girl, the hot chocolate girl. They make the milk very hot. It looked to me as if it was almost scalding the milk. Which would take it further than, say, if you were making a cappuccino or something. Am I right in that?
If we do a cappuccino, we will stop the heat at 145 to 150. If we do a hot chocolate, we bring it to a boil. Now, I want the hot chocolate to boil to develop all the flavor of the hot chocolate.
That's interesting. I was there with a friend who said, you know, can you not heat the milk all the way? And they're like, no, we have to heat it all the way. All the way. I said, okay.
Let it cool if you want,
but
you have to heat it all
the way. I am so insisting because otherwise your hot chocolate will not be thick and you will not get all the flavor. So I go 3-4 times a day behind the bar and look if they really boil it every time.
And what is boiling do? Because in so many coffee drinks, you want to avoid boiling the milk at all costs. Why boil it for hot chocolate?
Okay, boiling with chocolate, one of the reasons that I want that is to develop the cacao flavor into that milk. Otherwise, I do the tryouts. I did it at different temperature, and where you get the most of the flavor is after boiling it. I don't know exactly chemically what's happened when you reach that temperature, that 220 temperature, but the flavor expands. And it's good enough for me to follow that.
Can you do me a favor and just talk to our listeners a little bit about the difference between melting chocolate into a hot chocolate or using cocoa powder?
Oh, cocoa powder is a byproduct. When you make chocolates, you start from cacao nibs, and you can put those cacao nibs in. You can grind them, make the cocoa liquor, add sugar, refine it, and conch it, and you have chocolate, but most of the time you have to add some cocoa butter to that. The cocoa butter is the fat coming from the cacao, the cocoa liquor. So the cocoa liquor is grind nibs. Grind nibs is cocoa liquor. Now we put the cocoa liquor into a big press, and the press is going to separate the cocoa butter and the cocoa powder. So the cocoa powder used to be disposed. It's a byproduct. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we really use. So people start to mix that with milk and call that hot cocoa. So it's not conch. It's not really a finished product.
It's just it has a little bit of that chocolatey flavor, but it's not as rich as a hot chocolate.
And it doesn't conch. So you don't get rid of all the unpleasant flavor. It doesn't get any oxidation. It's not as pleasant of chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's a byproduct, so that's why we use real chocolate instead of cocoa powder.
You know that baking chocolate that I was talking to you about that my grandmother would bring back from France when I was a little kid?
Yes.
She'd make me hot chocolate out of it?
Yes.
And holy cow, was it good.
Yeah, my Irish mother used Nesquik.
I think Balagna was one of the biggest brand in France when I was a kid, and that was cocoa powder.
We not only did we use cocoa powder when I was a kid, we used Nestle's Quick. Was.
There was another one. You're right.
In my Irish household, that's what we had, and it was darn fine, Mom. If you're listening, we enjoyed it coming home from.
And then
from
I grew up, and then I buy a motorcycle, and then I discover winter and hot chocolate, and I tell you, that's a lot better.
Hey,
I agree.
Jacques, we have to leave it there. It's been great spending the hour with you, and we have a half a box of chocolates left to eat before the noon time. So thanks for coming on the
call
show.
Call me if you need more. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Jacques.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Jacques Torres. You can find out about Jacques Torres chocolates. You can get some in time for Valentine's Day. I think he's the best chocolatier in New York, and so does Mark. Now we're going to go eat some while you guys listen to a commercial. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Yeah, we're eating the Jacques Torres chocolates.
Francis and I have been snacking since we last left here.
Well, you know what's funny? I get a little bit of a high going. I got the chocolate high, I got the sugar high. And I also realize that these chocolates aren't inexpensive, so I've probably eaten about $15 worth of chocolates. It's better than the vending machine in the radio station lobby.
All right, listen, I've said this before, too, but chocolate makes me feel better. Chocolate makes me feel good. Chocolate, there's no question about it.
You're starting to look sexy to me.
That there is a pleasure center in the brain that is affected by chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's proven, and there's no question about it that when you have chocolate, well, most people anyway, not everybody is affected the same way, but when we have chocolate, we feel better. It is one of the reasons we run to chocolate in times of crisis and emergency and stress.
You run to chocolate in the times of crisis and emergency and stress.
Yes.
You run to chocolate to celebrate happy news.
Yes.
You run to chocolate if there's chocolate that you see. You just run to chocolate.
You would think with all this running, I'd be slimmer.
No, except that you're running to chocolate all the time. If you ran to apples, you would be slimmer.
You know, one of the things we didn't get to talk to Jacques about while he was here, one of the huge mistakes that I see chefs make all the time, one of the places where chefs fall down, and it was this crazy thing that happened a lot in the 80s, and thank goodness is kind of passed us by, but chefs using teas in their cuisine, well, they would smell and taste like your grandmother's purse very frequently. Mm-hmm. And one of the places that Jacques is flavoring these chocolates is he's using teas.
Yeah, there's a mint tea and an Earl Grey tea chocolate, both extraordinary.
And a chai tea as well, a tea as well. And they're really very good. I find them very interesting here, where most tea-flavored things that aren't tea annoy me.
Well, because the thing is, tea is, especially scented teas and aromatic teas, is very delicate, and the line between that's delicious and that smells like a perfume bottle is very close. And how many chefs have we seen try to make, you know, tea-scented creme brulees or tea-scented this, and you're like, that's just gross.
You've done it wrong.
And these are deft and beautiful, and they're not overly sweet. And I think that there's a lot of those chocolate desserts out there, they look black. They're sweet, but to have real chocolate taste.
But they lack the depth.
I think Jacques Torres is one of your best options, especially if you're in the Northeast, but you can get it shipped across the country.
And it's not too late to order for Valentine's Day.
And if you're going to Paris, pick us up a box of Michel Chaudin. You can send it to us at restaurantguysradio.com. We hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We're the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.